Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. I'm Reed Lessing, and we are looking at Psalm 148, which is the appointed psalm for the second Sunday of Easter. This is in the section of the Psalter commonly known as the Hallelujah Chorus. That is to say, the Psalter is divided into five different books, and after book five ends, in Psalm 145, which is a Davidic psalm, the Psalter ends with five psalms that begin and end with the appeal imperative of Halal plus Yah, Hallelujah. So this is a fitting psalm for the Easter season. It begins in Psalm 148 with Hallelujah, and you can end with Hallelujah in this section, verse 14. So let's take a look at this. As I said, Hallelujah is from a PL-based verb. That is to say, at least as a finite verb, this stem is not used in the call stem. So we're all familiar with this, Hallelujah. And then it goes, Hallelujah et Yahweh, min ha-shamayim, Hallelujahu ba me romim. The psalm begins with the call to praise Yahweh from the heavens. Praise him, ba me romim, in the heights. The psalm is going to include imperatives for the heavenly realms to praise Yahweh, as well as those who are on the earth. We'll see that as we move down to verse 11. Hebrew cosmology believed in three realms, the heavenly realm, which is where we're at in verse 1, the earthly realm, which is where we'll get at as in terms of people, in verse 11, and then Sheol, the realm under the earth. There is no praise, so says David in Psalm 30, of Yahweh in Sheol. Those people are silent, so the call to praise doesn't include this kind of third realm of Sheol. But it begins in the upper realm, the Shemayim and the Meromim. It continues, verse 2, Hallelujah kol mal akav, Hallelujah kol tzeva'av. So praise him. Again, this is a peel imperative from Halal with the object suffix, hey shurek, which is a third masculine singular object suffix. Praise him. The him would be Yahweh. All his works, Malakav can mean all his messengers. Praise him, all his, literally, the MT reads army. If you go immediately to the left in your Hebrew Bibles, you see the K-ray there, which reads a plural of Seva, whereas the Kathiv, what is written, is simply a singular. Praise him, every one of his host, or if we go with the K-ray, which makes more sense because the first line of this bi-kola poetic verse is plural, malakav, we would assume that the second is plural as well. Praise him, all his armies. Now, Yahweh has armies in heaven, and he has armies on the earth. Here, apparently, the psalmist is calling out to the heavenly armies to praise him. So who's in the heavenly army? Well, verse 3 will begin to define the heavenly army. What we have in verse 2, though, it would be two uses of kol, and the psalm has kol coming nine times. This is anticipatory of the last verse in the Psalter, 150, verse 6, where it says, let everything that has breath praise Yahweh, praise Yah, hallelujah. So The all-inclusive praise of Yahweh is here. And we're going to find out why there's this all-inclusive praise as we move through Psalm 148. Verse 3. Hallelujah, Shemesh ve'yareach, Hallelujah, kol kokaveh or. So here would be some of the members of the heavenly army. The Shemesh, praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all stars of light. So Yahweh uses these created elements for his military purposes. For example, in Joshua chapter 10, he causes the Shemesh to stand still. Verse 4, Hallelujah, Shemeha Shemayim Vehamayim, Asher Me'al HaShemayim. So praise him, the Shemeha Shemayim. This would, Shemay is a construct, plural, masculine form of Shemayim. This would be the most enduring and frequent way Hebrew expresses the superlative. So praise him literally, the heavens of the heavens. But this is actually understood to be the highest heavens, kind of like the Holy of Holies or the Song of Songs. These are superlatives, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. These are superlative expressions. Praise him, the very highest heavens, and again, Hebrew cosmology understood that above the heavens would be waters, and the waters, which are Me'al HaShemayim, above the heavens. And Yahweh can use these waters that are in the heavens, again, for his purposes in military battle, to defeat the enemies. Probably classically expressed in the Noahic narrative in Genesis chapters 6 through 9. Verse 5, we change from these masculine plural imperatives, hallelujah, to now yehallelu, and this would be a appeal, masculine plural, imperfect, but in the context, we are to understand this as a jussive. So, let them praise Etchem Yahweh, the name of Yahweh, the characteristics of Yahweh, the reputation of Yahweh. Ki hu tzivave niv aro. For he, that is he commanded. Tziva is a appeal-based verb. Third masculine singular from tziva, which is where we get the very common noun mitzvot, which means commandments, or mitzvah, commandment. So he, that is he, commanded, and they, this is a nifal, perfect, third common plural from bara, which is the most technical word Hebrew has for creation, and it would obviously be in Genesis 1, verse 1. For he, that is he, commanded, and they were barad. They were created. And we go back to Genesis 1, verse 3. Yehi or, let there be light. That would be the first command. And there was light. Verse 6 of Vaya'a midaim la'ad la'olam, hok natan velo ya'avor. This is a hifil of amad. Amad is a call-based verb, so the hifil will have a causative sense to it. We recognize its hifil probably easily by the hirik yod infix, and the mame there would be third masculine plural. And he caused them to stand, caused what to stand, what he created. in his army, his heavenly army, the Shemesh, Yireah, Kokaveh, Or, and these he commanded to endure La'ad, La'olam, forever and ever, a statute, this Chet Kof, would be something that would be chiseled. The verb het kof kof means actually to chisel, to engrave. So this is often understood as a statute. But a statute in English has this idea, this connotation of a statue. It's engraved. A statute he gave, and it will not velo yaavor. It will not be moved. Moved, avar, is just a very common word that means to travel, to move, to change locations. So in this case, this hoke, this statute, this engraving of Yahweh will not travel. It will not be moved. It will not change. Verse 7, Halleluhu et Yahweh min ha'aretz. Tanim v'kol temamot. So now we're moving from the heavens and the stars and the sun and the moon, etc., to what's on earth, min ha'aretz. And perhaps the psalmist chooses some of the most awesome and breathtaking parts of the earth, the tanim, the great sea creatures, the kol temamot, and all the depths. Verse 8, Esh u varad sheleg ve kitor. Esh here, common word for fire. It can indicate lightning, though, just as kol, the word that means voice, can indicate thunder. So Hebrew really doesn't normally use other words for thunder and lightning. Here the lightning is Esh, fire, and barad, hail, sheleg, snow, kitor, a word for smoke or fog, probably in this specific context. Ruach se'era osa devaro. A wind of a storm. Here we simply have se'era apparently functioning adjectivally, modifying ruach. Normally, though, se'era is functioning as a noun. But stormy winds, or ruach, wind, more technically singular. A stormy wind, so se'ara functioning adjectivally. Osa, that's a call, active participle, feminine singular, feminine because of the comments under the sin. Doing devaro, his word. His bidding, carrying out Yahweh's command, probably much like we have in verse 5, where Yahweh's created elements are doing what he commands. Well, now we move to verse 9, Heharim ve'kol geva'ot. Mountains and hills are often paired together in parallel understandings. So the mountains and all hills, Eitz Peri, a tree of fruit. Peri looks like it has a first common singular pronominal suffix, but it really doesn't. That's the absolute form of the noun. Peri, fruit. So a fruit tree, v'kol a razim, and every cedar, all cedars. Verse 10, Ha-kayah, v'kol behema remes v'tzipor kanaf. The living thing, often this word is just simply a catch-all for kind of everything that's alive in terms in the animal world. That is to say, every animal, behema, remes is a creeping thing. Zippor reminds us perhaps of Moses' wife's name, Zipporah. She's the first lady bird, apparently. And kanaf is winged. Zippor often is modified by kanaf. It's a little clumsy in English. We would probably just understand it idiomatically. And birds. So what's to praise Yahweh? The living things, every beast, the creeping things, you know, the insects and the bugs, and the birds, finally. In verse 11, we are finally told that people are to join in this massive hallelujah chorus, Malkei Eretz v'kol lu'umim, serim v'kol shiftei aretz. Kings of earth, literally, in all peoples. Le'umim, that's the lamed, it's part of the noun, it's not a prefix lamed. So kings of the earth and all peoples. Then we go to back to kind of leaders, serene princes, government officials, and all the shoftei aretz, and all the judges, leaders of earth, literally. And then he goes on in verse 12, Bakarim v'gam betulot. So the Bakarim that comes from the trilittle root bakar, which means to choose. Here would be the chosen young men, quite often understood as the elect. Best creme de la creme, sometimes in military contexts. So the finest that young men can offer in terms of strength and power. And even here, betulot, young women. And here then we go to zekenim, old ones, with ne'arim. With ne'arim would be probably like the teenager types, the Na'ar. Jeremiah 1:5 calls himself a Na'ar. Solomon is called a Na'ar in 1 Kings 3. So again, the psalmist is just keeping up the imagery for us. The old ones, the Zakanim, and along with the young ones. Yehallelu et shem Yahweh. This is the second time we're praising the name of Yahweh, the characteristics, the reputation of Yahweh. Ki nisgab shemo lavado, hodo al aretz v'shemayim. Let them, we'll take this as a jessive again, just as we did in verse 7. Let them praise the reputation of Yahweh. Ki nisgab shemo lavado. Nisgab would be a nifal perfect, third masculine singular. For he has exalted, nisgab is a nifal-based verb, so it doesn't have a passive or medial passive or reflexive idea. Simply understood as a in a call category, though it's nifal. For he has made high, exalted, his characteristics, his name, Levado alone. And his glory is honor, hod is honor, and then we have a pronominal suffix there, third masculine singular. His honor above the earth and the heaven. So this is a nice summary of what we've looked at so far. In reverse form, the Eretz, we kind of joined the Eretz in the second half of the psalm, and we were in the Shemayim, the heavens, in the first half. Verse 14, Va-yarem, Karen, le'amo. This is from Rum, Hifil. He has caused to be exalted a horn for his people. Horn can signify the tip of a mountain. It can signify simply the horn, as in horns of the altar. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses has horns as he comes down from his epiphanic experience on Mount Sinai. Here, it's probably best understood in parallel with the Tehillah at the next part of verse 14, praise. So it's praise, renown, reputation. He has exalted the reputation of his people, understood in at the end of the Psalter. This is probably a fair allusion to the Babylonian return under the Cyrus decree in 538 BC. So the reputation of his people that had been down and out, and Ezekiel would say they're dead in Ezekiel chapter 37, of valley full of bones. This reputation of his people has been exalted. And this is why this is finally a nice connection with the motif of new life and resurrection. What has been dead is now alive. The care and the praise of his people has been exalted. Tehillah, I mean, this is the name of the book, right? Tehillim, praises, a praise. See, a reputation, almost a vindication, l'kol chasidav, for all of his covenant-keeping ones, right, from Chesed. Unfortunately, the versions never quite get this right. Saints isn't good. These are the people who have covenant love and loyalty to Yahweh, because he first had covenant love and loyalty to them. Kind of a turn of 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. We are his kesed ones, his kasidav, because he first had kesed for us. He demonstrated that in this psalm in bringing the ancestors back from Babylon. Livnei Yisrael am kerovo, the children, the sons of Israel, a people. This is a little awkward. Close to him, see, he. This is a marvelous idea. They're close to him. He's engraved them upon the palms of his hands, right? Isaiah 49, verse 14. He has designated them to be segulah, his prized, priceless possession, right? In Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. He's got a people close to him. What else can he do but vindicate them and raise them up? And with that, we say, hallelujah.